This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
If I were to ask people, why do we celebrate Lag BaOmer? Why is there such happiness and festivity in the Jewish world? What are the reasons for all the celebrations? The standard answers that people give are basically two. Number one, that the Talmidim, the students of Rabbi Akiva, stopped dying. And number two, that it's the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The trouble is, both of those reasons need explanation. First of all, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. This is, of course, based on the Gemara in Yevamos and Samach Beis. But the Gemara says over there, Omru, Samach Beis, on the base, Omru Shnei Maso Elef Zugim, Talmidim Hoyle Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, 24,000 students, Migivas ad Antipras, from place called Givas to Antipras, from one place to another, a big area. For Kulon Mesu Beperek Echot, and they all died in one period of time, Mipnei Shelo Nogu Kovod Zelazeh. For Hoya Ha'ilam Shomeim, and the world was desolate. At Shebo Rabbi Akiva Etz Rabbi Senu Shebedorim, he went down south and he started over Veshana Lohem, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon, Reb Loza ben Shamua. And he taught these five Talmidim. Veheim heim heim idu Torah Oisesha, and they rebuilt Torah during that period. Tona Kula Meisu Mepesach Vadatzeres, and the 24,000 students. Reb Akiva died during the period of time from Pesach to Atzeres. There's different traditions exactly when they died, over a period of 33 days, which 33 days, etc. That's why we have different traditions as to when we keep the sphere. Be that as it may, there seems to be a major problem with saying that the reason why we celebrate Lag BaOmer is that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopped dying. The reason why they stopped dying is because there was no one else left to die. He had 24,000 Talmidim. They died over a period of 33 days, where if you do the maths, that's approximately 800 a day. That means one is dying every 2 or 3 minutes. And after a period of 33 days, there was no one else left to die. So why celebrate? And that really is the kasha of the Pri Chodosh. If you're listening online, you're welcome to email me at j.golka@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. But this is in box paragraph 2.1. It says the Pri Chodosh, Umiyu yesh ledakdek b'simcha zu. One can question this simcha. Lama. If it's because they stopped dying, mabekach, so what? Harilu nisha echol mehem, there was no one else left to die. Why are you celebrating? V'kulam mesu mativashal simchazu, what is the nature of this simcha? If the second reason is the yahrzeit of Rishim Bayachai and we celebrate the hilul of Rishim Bayachai, the question there is, why focus on Rishim Bayachai? No doubt, he was a very great person, but we have many great Tanoim. Why do we pick him? The Marshal, Reb Meir. Reb Meir would be a very good candidate. Impact that we're looking for, well, we know Stam Mishnah K'Reb Meir. That means that any Mishnah throughout Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, which is not attributed to a Tana, is going to be Reb Meir, Stam Mishnah Reb Meir. If we're looking for someone who's highly intelligent, well, Reb Meir is a great candidate. Chazal tell us, "En yored l'soif daito." His genius is so great that we can't paskin like him because we can't plumb the depths of his intellect. We can't fully understand everything he says. "En yored l'soif daito," and therefore that's why we can't paskin like him, because he's so intellectually great. If we're looking for a mekubal, a balmofus, well, again, Reb Meir will be perfect. We're all very familiar with the Reb Meir Bal Hanes. That is the Reb Meir of the Mishnah fame. That is the great Tana Reb Meir. All the stories about Eloika Demeir Aneni, that is Reb Meir. And if we're wanting to celebrate, instead of going to Meiron, we'll go to Tveria. Tveria is in a way much easier access. There's a lot going for Tveria. So why do we mark the Yahrzeit of Rishim Bar Yochai over the other Tanoim? In order to understand the answer to our two questions, what really is the standard reasons for Lag BaOmer, it's true. It is the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva and the Hilul of Rishim Bar Yochai, but we need to clarify exactly what that means. The starting point is to explore the personality of Rabbi Akiva. To do so, let's look at a Gemara in Chulin. This is on paragraph 4 in the sheet, in the handout. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph on the base tells a story. Om Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamliel v'es Rabbi Yeshua be'itli shel imam. Once upon a time, I went to ask Rabbi Gamliel v'es Rabbi Yeshua in the meat market of imam, She'holchu likach behema l'mishta b'nei shel Rabbi Gamliel. Why were Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel at the meat market? Because Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married, and they went to buy meat for the wedding. So Rabbi Kiva was aware that they were there, so he went to the meat market to ask Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua a question. What was his question? Ksiv vayizrach le Hashemesh, that the sun shone for him. This is a reference, of course, to Yaakov Avinu, when he was battling the whole night with the Tsar of Esav. The Pasuk says, vayizrach le Hashemesh, and the sun shone for him. And the Gemara questions the expression, v'chi shemesh le levad zarcha, when you wake up in the morning and the sun shines, it's shining for the whole of humanity, not just for one individual. V'halo l'kol ha'olam zarcha, says the Gemara, it's shining for the whole world. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, shemesh habo ba'avurei, zarcha ba'avurei, the sun which set for him, shone for him. What does that mean? D'chsiv, as it says in the parasha before, in Parshas Vayetzeh, Vayetze Yaakov me'Be'er Sheva vayelech Chorona. When after Yaakov gets the brachas from Esav, from Yitzchak, and Esav is chasing after him, wanting to kill him, Yaakov, you know, has to run away. Uksiv vayivka b'mokim, and he arrives at the place. Kimotza l'choron oma, when he arrives at Choron, says the Gemara, Efsho v'arati al-mokim she'espalala v'yusai, how come I passed the place where my father davened, Yitzchak and Yaakov and Avram davened, va'ani lo hispalalti, and I didn't take the opportunity to daven. Kadyoiv daitel mihad a kofts le ara miyad vayivka b'mokam. And he had kvitz haderech, and he got back there. As the Gemara says, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu sadik bo lebeis maloini vayipote b'loinina miyad bo ha-shemesh. In order to make Yaakov Avinu stop at the mokam ha-migdash and daven there, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it dark. Back in the day, if there was no natural sort of lighting, if it became dark, it was impossible to carry on traveling. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the sun set in order to stop Yaakov in his tracks. In other words, the Gemara is saying, the sun set on behalf of Yaakov Avinu, it set early. Let's say it was meant to set at 6 p.m., it set at 4 p.m., to compensate the sun for that lack of shining. 36 years later, after he was in the house in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva for 14 years, in the house of Lavan for a total of 22 years, 36 years later, Vayizrach Loi HaShemesh, on account of Yaakov Avinu, this, where the sun had to stop shining, let's say 2 hours earlier, it was compensated 36 years later, Vayizrach Loi HaShemesh, on account of Yaakov, the sun having to set early because of him many years earlier. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. Many years ago, in 1996 it was, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, he should live and be well, he came to London and he spoke in Dayan Aaron Torah Shul and on a Friday night, and he quoted this Gemara. And he asked four questions on this Gemara. The first question is, the Gemara is not a storybook. Why is the Gemara telling us that the dialogue took place in the meat market of Imam? What is the significance of that fact? And what is the significance of the fact that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are there to buy meat for the wedding of the son of Rabbi Gamliel? Why is that relevant? Surely the main point is, Vayizrach le'ashemesh, shemesh habo bavuroi, zarcha bavuroi. Why is the Gemara giving me this background? A third question is, why didn't, who answered the question? If you're making the effort and you're taking the trouble to go to the meat market of Imam to ask Rabbi Yeshua a question, presumably you're going to get an answer from Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua. But yet, it seems to be somebody else features here. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Kiva seems to be quoting an answer that he heard from Rabbi Yitzchak. What's going on? And lastly, why did Rabbi Kiva have to go to the meat market and trouble them? Surely they're busy. Their Rabbi Gamliel's son is getting married. They're making a wedding. Why now? Why can't he wait to the Beis Medrash the next morning? It's not the most pressing question. So why couldn't he wait until they were in the Beis Medrash? Why go to the meat market of Imam to ask them the question? The answer to these questions is to understand the personality of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva throughout Shas is the exemplar of resilience, of fortitude, of optimism, of hope. There are many examples of this. The Gemara says, for example, at the end of Makkos, that they were walking on Har HaBayis, a fox emerges from the Mokum of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and his company, which by the way includes many of the Tanoim that we're talking about over here, in Gamliel, Bishua, if I'm not mistaken, and they start crying, Rabbi Kiva starts laughing. They say to him, why are you laughing? He says to them, why are you crying? We're crying because the Mokum, the holiest place in the Jewish world, on the holiest day, the holiest person goes in, the Kodesh Kedosh on Yom Kippur, and a fox now is roaming this place, shouldn't we cry? And he gives them chizuk and says, for that very reason I'm laughing. And he says that we can connect two nevuahs, the nevuahs of Shualim Hilchubay and the nevuah of Od Yeshvu Zakenim V'Zakenos, that remarkable prophecy which we're seeing and coming to fruition in our own days. You walk in the old city of Yerushalayim and you see children playing, Yerodim Masachakim, and you see older people sitting down on the benches. If I'm not mistaken, in the old city, on the bench, they're inscribed, is this pasuk, Od Yeshvu Zakenim V'Zakenos. There'll be a time where old men and women will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer, and this is a part fulfillment of this pasuk, surely. So we see that Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara concludes, Akiva Nechamtonu, Akiva Nechamtonu, that gave them comfort. You see that Rabbi Akiva had the ability to see the silver lining on every cloud. With that in mind, we can understand the answers to our questions. Said Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Akiva wasn't going to ask a question. He was going to give Ringamniel and Rishua Chizuk. This is post-Churban. This is after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, his Rabbi Gamliel's son, was getting married, but they simply were not in the mood to make a wedding. Imagine 1945 DP camps. That was the tragic situation. You're not really in the mood to celebrate. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva detected that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were going to make a wedding with a heavy heart. They were in the meat market to buy meat, but they weren't doing it with a simcha that is normally associated with a wedding. So Rabbi Akiva goes to the meat market, not to ask a question, but to give them chizuk. What's the chizuk? The chizuk is, Vayizrach le'ashemesh, that there is a cheshbon for everything. That even something as seemingly arbitrary as the shining of the sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs it k'chut ha'sa'ara with a proper cheshbon. There is a massive master plan. And therefore, 36 years earlier, the sun has to set a little bit earlier. 36 years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensates the shining of the sun. You see, says Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, there is a cheshbon. Why was there a churban? What's going to happen? What's going to be with Klal Yisrael? Don't worry, we have to try our best, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. And therefore, they don't answer the question. Rabbi Akiva is not going to ask them for an answer. He's going to tell them this idea. And therefore, he quotes the idea of Rabbi Yitzchak of Shemesh Habo Ba'avurei Zorcha Ba'avurei. And therefore, that's why he couldn't wait to the Beis Medrash. He went dafka to the meat market because he sensed that they were going to buy meat with a heavy heart. It's intrinsic to the story. That's why the Gemara gives me this background. Now, with that in mind, we can understand what Lag Ba'omer is really about. We go back to the Gemara in Yevamos. Shneim also elef zugim talmidim hoyle Rabbi Akiva. He had 12,000 pairs of students. They all died in this period. V'hoye ha'olam shomim. The world was desolate. That's the key. The key is not so much they stopped dying, that Rabbi Akiva had the fortitude and the strength of character to pick himself up, to dust himself off, and to go weiter and to carry on. Achebo Rabbi Akiva etzer Rabbeinu shebedorim, and to start over. Anybody else in that position would be excused to say, listen, maybe the Rosh Hashiva business is not for me. Rabbi Akiva has just suffered an incredibly difficult loss. The entire yeshiva body had been wiped out. Can you imagine? 24,000 students dying over a period of 33 days. That means 800 a day, one every 2 or 3 minutes. Can you imagine them coming to him in the Beit HaMedrash, Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Akiva, this one has passed away. This one has passed away. When's the Levaya? We've got to go. It's crushing. Anybody else would think, you'd pack it in. But that's not Rabbi Akiva. He is the optimal optimist. And he gets up and he brushes himself off. He starts over. Ad Shebo Rabbi Akiva etzal Rabbeinu Shebedorim. And therefore the first answer of the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva died is only a part of the story. They died, but yet Rabbi Akiva had the strength of character to go weiter and to rebuild and to ensure the transmission process would continue unfaltered. It's really the celebration of the perpetuity of Torah. And really, if you think about it, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Stam in Peivav Amud Aleph, Stam Masnis in Reb Meir, Stam Tesefta Reb Nechemia, Stam Sifro Reb Yehuda, Stam Sifri Reb Shimon, V'kulo Alib de Reb Akiva. He is the link in the chain that ensured the continuation of the Masorah. That is really the celebration. And that's essentially what the Pri Chodosh answers to his question. We're not celebrating the fact that his students stopped dying. There was no one else left to die. The Efsha says the Pri Chodosh, Shasimchihi al Oisim Talmidim Shahisif Achakach Rabbi Akiva Shelo Mesu Ke'ilu. That he started over. He had the resilience, the fortitude, the strength of character to continue his efforts to ensure the transmission of Torah would happen. Rabbi Akiva epitomizes Torah Shebal Peh. That's born out of a Gemara in Menachas Chof Tesom Abeis. Omer B'Yehuda Merav, B'Shah She'olam Moshe Lamar, famous Gemara, that one time Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, Motzla HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'yeshe V'Koshe Kesorim Lo'ezias, and he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu was writing the crowns of the letters. Omer L'Fon of B'Shem B'Reinu Shalom, Mima Akav Al Yodcha, Omer Lo'i Odom Echod Yesh She'osid L'yos B'Soif Kamadiris, there's going to be a person in many generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Vakiva ben Yosef Shemai. His name is Rabbi Akiva. She'osid lidrosh al kol koitz v'koitz tilin tin shel alochas. He'll be able to darshan, to expound on every little crown of the letter that you have in these little marks, the tagin, the koitz, and the koitz on top of the letters in the Sefer Torah. He will darshan all of those, every single one. Amar l'fan Rabbeinu Shlom Hareoli, let me see him. Amru loy, charzor l'acharecha, which in other words, he went in a time machine. Halach v'yoshev b'sof shmona shuros. And he went, Moshe Rabbeinu, went down many hundreds of years to sit in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Akiva. And he sat at the back of the Beis HaMedrash. V'loi hayo yedea mahin omrim. Astonishing. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand what was going on in Shir. Toshash koichei. He became weak. Kivin shegia ledova echad. And all of a sudden he felt so sick that he couldn't understand what was going on in the Shir. And then at one point, Omer Talmid of Rabbi Akiva's student said to him, Rebbe, minayin lecho, how do you know this particular point? Omer lohen, halochel Moshe Mesinai. Nisyash of Daito. And then Moshe Rabbeinu's peace of mind came back. Chozar Rabbalif ne HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer lefon of Rabbeinu Shleilom. Yesh lecha odom kazeh v'atanesin Torah al yodi. You've got a giant, Rabbi Akiva. Why give the Torah through me? Give it through Rabbi Akiva. Omer lehi shesoik, kach olam machshava lefonai. Be silent, that's my game plan. Either way, you see that Rabbi Akiva epitomizes the Torah Shebal Peh, that even Moshe Rabbeinu struggled to understand what was being said many centuries later. Now, what about the second question, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Why we mark the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, again, more than any of the Tanoim, because it's specific to him. We're celebrating, A, the Mesiras Nefesh of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which ensured the continuation of Torah's Hanista. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel. This is, if you've got the sheet in front of you, this is in paragraph 5c. The Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel, famous Gemara. The Yosef Yehuda Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon, the Yosef Yehuda Ben Gerim Gabayhu. The three Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, were sitting, and there was another person there, his name was Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gerim. Pasuch Rabbi Yehuda V'Omer. They were discussing the merits of the Roman Empire in which they were living. And Rabbi Yehuda said, that this nation is a great nation, they build wonderful things, etc., etc. And Rabbi Shimon took issue with them and said, whatever they're doing is self-serving, they're not doing it for the benefit of society and the world, they're doing it for self-serving reasons, as the Gemara elaborates. V'nishmu l'malchus, and the word got to the Malchus, to the Roman Empire, that Rabbi Shimon spoke negatively about them. Omru, so they concluded, Yehuda she'illa yisale, Yehuda, who praised the Roman Empire, kamanoim asem shal muzu, yisale, he should be promoted, elevated. Yosi she'shosak yigle tzipori, Rabbi Yosi was silent, therefore he should be exalted tzipori. Shimon she'gino, he disparaged the Roman Empire, yehoreg, he's going to have to be killed. So he heard, Shimon heard that there's a wanted sign out for him, that they want to kill him. Ozel hu obrei, he, Shimon, and his son, Eliezer, went, Toshu b'ma'artoi, they hid in a cave. Izrachish nisa, a miracle happened, Ivru charuba ve'ina demayo, and a carob tree and a spring of water grew outside the cave, and therefore they were able to, that could sustain them. So they took their clothes off, they could sit in the sand, so they shouldn't wear out the clothes. And they lived there for a long time. Every day they learnt. And then when they needed to dab and they would dress again, they wouldn't wear out their clothes too much. They shouldn't wear them out. And they lived in the cave for 12 years. They heard about it, his son-in-law, and he took him out. He took him to the bathhouse because of all the sort of the effect that it had on their skin. There were indentations on his skin. There were sore marks and things like that. He started crying. Okay, the Gemara describes the amazing mysterious nefesh and the pain and the effort that they had to go through to live in the cave for 12 years, hiding from the Romans, and they were there for a 13th year, etc. They lived in that cave. What did they do there? Rav Shimon bar Yochai is the editor of the Zohar. In the same way the Rebbe collated all of Torah Shebal Peh and Mishnayos, Rav Shimon bar Yochai did the same thing with Torah Hanista. So you see that the celebration of Rav Shimon bar Yochai is not so much just what randomly picking one Tana, but it's the celebration of the continuity that he was able to sort of collate all of Torah Hanista that we have it today still. The Torah Hanista, which is of course not so widely studied, but the continuity of the Mesorah of Torah Hanista is because of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So essentially what we're celebrating on Lag BaOmer is the continuity of Torah, either it's Torah Hanigla, that's Rabbi Akiva, who epitomizes Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Hanigla specifically, or Torah Hanista, and Torah Hanista of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And it's the mysterious nefesh of Rabbi Akiva and their resilience and their fortitude and that of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, which we're celebrating on Lag BaOmer. Interestingly, this contrasts to Acher, whose test, Elisha ben Avuya Acher, his test was to think that he was beyond hope. His test was thinking there is no hope. And the truth is, says the Shlon, say many others, that that's what his test was, and is actually, he could have done tshuva. And yet, he failed the test. That's why that we always read his Mishnah in the fourth week of the Omer, which is the week where Lag BaOmer falls. What's his Mishnah? Well, in Perek Dalet and Mishnah Chaf, which we read, like I say, in the fourth week of the Omer, the fourth Shabbos of the Omer, which always falls around Lag BaOmer week, is this. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, halomed yeled lomo hudomer. If you teach a child, what's it like? L'dyoi k'suva al naya chodosh. You're teaching, you're writing on fresh blank piece of paper. Very geschmack. V'halomed zochem. You're teaching an old person, lomo hudomer. L'dyoi k'suva al naya mochuk. You're teaching an old person, it's like ink on worn paper. There's no hope, you can't write on it, it's smudged, it's dirty, it won't absorb properly. His very teaching, as it were, is that of no hope. And the contrast is, of course, Rabbi Akiva, who shows that the correct response is resilience, fortitude, you get up, you dust yourself off, we're going to go weiter. Interestingly, the whole concept of hope is such a Jewish thing. The very foundation, Rabbi Tzadok says, the very foundation of the Jewish people is built on hope. The Reb Tzadok says it's in, let me find you the Maror Mokom. Yeah, Reb Tzadok says in Divrei Soferim, Ois Tes Zayin, he says an amazing thing, that the very foundation, the very building of Klal Yisrael is based on the concept of us being Lamala Miyush, that we're always above the concept of giving up and of no hope. Eliezer goes out with Avraham Avinu to fight and to get Lot. Why? Because Avraham Avinu wants to save his nephew. From him will come Moav, will come Rus, will come David, will come Melech Moshiach. anyone else would be scared to go in and fight the four kings and retrieve Lot. But Avraham Avinu, says Reb Tzaddik, is a person who has optimism. It's in our DNA. Eliezer is Gematria 318. So again, the Gemara in Adorim says that Eliezer, he takes either Eliezer himself or 318 men. Why 318? It seems like a random number. Either it's the Gematria of Eliezer or it's 318 men, because Yiush is Gematria 317. And therefore, Avraham Avinu is saying, we're beyond Yiush. We're not worried about that. 318 always overpowers 317. The very nation of Klal Yisrael is built in situations of no hope. Avraham Avinu is a very old man. His wife is very old. They've been barren for decades. But we overcome that. We dust ourselves down and we go vital. We have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We always overcome Yiush. We're told, Tisperu Chamishim Yoim. You've got to count 50 days yet. We know we only count 49. We don't count day 50. The answer is that the 50th level is beyond us. And really, we have to do as much as we can humanly do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. That explains another Gemara. The Gemara says, Omer Bikiva, Arbi Kiva, Ashreichem Yisrael lifnei ami atem matarin mi matares ma'avichem shebashamayim. What's the context of this Gemara? The context is that this is the time of Churban. People came to Rabbi Kiva and says, this is a Yom Kippur. We remember still Yom Kippur when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the majesty of the day, the Kedusha, the power, the Beis HaMikdash, the Avoda of the Kohanim, the Levim singing. We knew, and now you call this a Yom Kippur, you sit in Shul all day wearing a kittel. That's Yom Kippur. Said Rabbi Kiva, I understand your upset. But Ashreichem Yisrael, lefnei mi atem matarin, mi matar eschem avichem shabashamayim. Don't worry, there's still a silver lining to this cloud. There's still the Etzem Hayom of Yom Kippur, which is Metaher. But look at this. Lifnei mi atem matarim, says Rabbi Kiva. Mi is Gematria 50. Mem and Yud is 40 and 10 is 50. Lifnei mi atem matarim. 49, lifnei mi. The bit before 50, you can be Metaher. You've got to put in every effort to go forward, to be optimistic, to be resilient, to be Metaher yourselves. But mi Metaher eschem. Level 50, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. And that explains, says the Rogachev Gaon, the famous machleik between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Dova she'en mischaven is asa, and Rav Shimon says, Dova she'en mischaven is muta. We paskin like Rav Shimon, that Dova she'en mischaven is muta. Says the Rogachev, what's going on? Dova she'en mischaven muta means that we're not so much worried about the outcome. Dova she'en mischaven is muta. That we specifically celebrate the kavana and not the Totsah. Dov Shein Mischavan also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, means, I don't care what you're thinking, if this is going to lead to this result, you're going to have a problem. Says Rabbi Shimon, no. Dov Shein Mischavan is Mutter. That if you're not, if that's not your intention, I don't mind. In other words, we're celebrating the Kavona, not the Totsah. That's exactly the point. Lifnei mi atem matarin. You do as much as you can, we do as much as we can possibly do, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. Mi matar eschem. Because we're celebrating the Kavona, not the Totsah. That's out of our hands. We have to just pick ourselves up and have the fortitude to go weiter. Which I think, post October the 7th, is a very, very important message. There is a sense of despair, of we're living in difficult and troubled times. And how are we going to get out of this? The answer is we have to just pick ourselves up and have hope in the concept that Klal Yisrael are beyond Yiush, with 318 always overpowers 317. And that really is the answer to our question. Lag BaOmer is a day, a remarkable day. Yes, the two reasons, the standard reasons are that Talmidim Rabbi Kiva stopped dying, the Hillel of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. But the common theme between both of those is the optimism, the resilience of Rabbi Kiva, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and the continuity, the perpetuity of the transmission of the Mesorah, both of Toras HaNigla, which is Rabbi Kiva, and Toras HaNistah, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be Zocha to have a meaningful Lag BaOmer and to hear Besuras Tovas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillahs, and there should be Simcha in Klal Yisrael, and we should never experience Yiush or hopelessness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Besuras Tovas B'Karav Mamish.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.